Well, good morning, everybody. I love second service. We're going to have a lot of fun in service today. The Holy Spirit's moving really, really strong. And get ready. We're going to have some fun this morning. I'm going to preach this morning, and then we're just going to let God just get all a hold of us and move in power at the end. How's that? Y'all good with that? All right. If you see the screen here, this is my wife, if you've not seen her, and it is true. It takes me about 30 tries to get a good picture, and then when Tara is in the picture, it's like immediately. She has this gift, and so my picture is, as Pastor said, and just everything is better with her. That's the truth, but she sends her love to you, my girls and my son do. And they're praying for you this morning. In fact, they wrote me a message early and say, we're interceding for this morning's service. So I know that some powerful things are going to happen. All right. Open your Bibles. Turn to the book of Genesis. This morning, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. I'm teaching from some material that we have. We have it out at the table in the foyer, and you can pick that up out there. This actually does your spiritual gifts test with you. How many have ever done a spiritual gifts test? Okay. How many have done it many, many years ago? I encourage everybody to do this test about every 2 years. I think it's important to track your growth. Amen with that? And so you can pick up that out there. There's also a series on it with teaching. It's about 8 hours of teaching in here, and it's some really good stuff. You can grab that. We have one other thing out there, and that's an instrumental CD. How many of you, sometimes it's hard to get soft before the Lord or get peaceful? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, we have an instrumental CD. This is actually me playing from my time with God. This is not edited or any of that kind of stuff. It's just me on a piano and just in my time with the Lord, and so you can pick that up out there as well. All right, Genesis chapter 3, here we go. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God. Now they were already like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate it, and she gave also to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking into our hearts and lives. I thank you, Lord, for moving in the church this morning with revelation, Lord. Lord, we ask that you melt our heart and prepare it for your touch. And Lord, I pray for every person who's in here that has a need this morning. Lord, would you meet that need? Would you move in their life in a powerful way this morning? In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. At the end of the sermon here, we're going to have a time of prayer and flow a little bit in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, in Genesis 3, we read about the beginning. How many have heard the story of Adam and Eve? How many have heard it about 20 times, 50 times? Maybe you're in the hundreds now and that. Okay, I'm with you. I've heard this sermon a lot. I want to focus on something in this, though. Genesis is the story of beginnings, and here is Eve, and the serpent is talking to her, and there's Adam next to her. Now, let me put this in reference. The devil was using the serpent, right? And here is the devil speaking to Eve about her future, her destiny, and what God has said in her life. And he's challenging everything that God has done in that paradigm. Y'all with me? This is familiar. Now, the part of the story that really gets me is her husband sitting beside her, and he's letting the devil talk to his wife. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't be okay with that. Okay, so you see the picture of my wife on the screen? Okay, now, the truth is, it's only Jesus that I got her. And let me tell you the story of how I met my wife. So I was actually in Seattle doing my practicum for ministry my last year in school, and I was working for the church up there. And it was great big church and everything. And when school ended, the Lord said, I want you to go home and work with your dad in ministry. And so I went from a church of about 8,000 people with a lot of young people, and it was great and everything, and went down to my dad's church, and there was about 250, 300 people and no young adults, and specifically no young adult women. So when I came home, it was great because they'd offered me a position to be on staff. It was a lot. It was a great salary, the whole thing. When I came home and I told my dad, I said, Dad, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to work for you and to help you in the ministry here. My dad hugged me. He smiled. He said, Lucas, I want you to come into the office. We're going to sit and talk with you tomorrow, and we're going to put a plan together. I said, that's amazing. So I'm ready for it. And my dad, I come to him the next morning, and I said, Dad, I'm ready. And there's the board of the elders there of the church, and they said, Lucas, we love you. We're so excited to have you here. You are an answer to our prayers. And I'm like, this is going somewhere. And so as they're talking, Dad said, you know, in the budget right now, we have about $400 a month we can pay you. And Mom and I have been talking, and we would like to say that you can come move back in with us. And Mom, you know, has the best food in the whole world. And so we just want you to know you can stay for a small amount of rent, $150 a month. And then there's some things that we would like you to do at the house. And then we'll give you $400 a month to work at the church, and we want you to put 40 hours in. We're going to clock in. These are your hours, and this and stuff. I'm looking at this, and I'm remembering the job offer I had up here, and I'm thinking, is it too late to go back? I'm sitting in church, and I remember the first, when I came to work for the church, I mean, I was right out of college. I'd been preaching. I'd been traveling already. I thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, I just thought really a lot. So when I came to work for my dad, the next day I showed up to work, I'm ready, I'm in a suit, I'm ready to help people, you know? And my dad takes me to the broom closet and opens, and he pulls out the mop bucket, and he says, I'd like you to go clean the bathrooms. I looked at him, I was like, what? For the next 6 months, I wasn't allowed to preach. I wasn't allowed to pray. I wasn't allowed to lead worship. I wasn't allowed to stand on stage. All I did was clean the church. Straighten the chairs, because Dad was one of those individuals, the chairs had to be an exact certain way. All preachers are weird that way. I don't know what it is. We need to pray for them. But there was a specific, and there was a specific arch to the chairs that had to be, and, you know, that was my job. So finally, in the church, my dad let me pray, and I got to lead worship. And so I'm leading church worship on a Sunday morning. And literally, I felt I was dying on the inside. I mean, it was I thought the world was at an end. Ministry was going nowhere. I was forgotten in that. I'm leading worship on the piano, and this vision walks in church, which is Tara. And she walks towards the front with her parents, and she goes, sit down. And over the microphone while I'm leading worship, I said, oh my God, there's a cute girl in church on Sunday. Thankfully, the church did not hear that, but my band did. And they stopped playing, and they're laughing. I can see Gary and Scott and all the guys. They're just dying laughing. That Sunday morning, God spoke to Tara and said, look up, that's your husband. Now, I would like to consider myself the more spiritual, mature, that kind of thing, but the truth is it took me a year and a half to work up the nerve to ask her out. Now, I knew I liked her and everything, and the worst part was, it's dangerous prayers, okay? Prayer is dangerous. So I had gone to the Lord, and I had figured I'm dying anyways, and there's nothing happening, nothing's going to work, and there's never going to be a girl in the church. I guess I'm going to be celibate my whole life. So I just prayed before that happened. I was on stage. I just prayed and said, Lord, I'm going to give the next year of my life to you, and I'm not going to date. I'm not going to pursue anything. I'm just going to give my life to prayer and the word. And then that next Sunday, she walks into church. I was like, seriously. It took me the nerve. Now, the truth is, I couldn't get a girl like that. That's only Jesus. But I would have a really hard time if the devil started talking to my wife. I'd have a real hard time with that, especially if he started challenging what God's word was for us, or if it was about our destiny or our future. In fact, I'd have a problem if any man walked up to my wife and started doing that too. He might meet this. the gospel of my fist. Y'all know what I'm saying? For some reason, Adam was quiet. He lost his voice. Don't know the situation, don't know what was going on. Scripture doesn't allude to that, but I've been in ministry long enough, I've counseled a lot of couples. And the one thing I know that is very dangerous when you're doing couples counseling is when one of the spouses is quiet and they've lost their fight. They've lost their voice. I don't know what was going on with Adam, but something was, because he allowed the enemy to speak. And remember, every day he's spending time with God. Y'all with me? But he still didn't stand up for what was his. He lost his voice. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're talking about spiritual gifts this morning. Pastor said when he heard me preaching in first service, he thought I had changed my message. But I want to show you how God thinks. A lot of people think, and they're taught, you need to learn how to spend time with God. That's kind of right, but the right way to say it, you need to learn how God spends time with you, which is very different. In Acts chapter 2, we're familiar with this chapter, right? It said, and when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing to themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were some filled. No, it says all were filled. All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to... The very first gift that God gives to the New Testament church is a voice. Now, let's talk about God for a minute. God remembers what happens. And God remembered what happened to Adam. They're in the garden. It's perfect. Everything's perfect there. He's with them every day. But for some reason, and we don't know what it was, but for some reason, Adam went quiet when the devil came. Y'all following me? So God remembered that, and he said, you know what? As we're starting the church, I'm going to give them gifts that are going to help them in their life. So the very first gift he gives them is a voice. This is really powerful because gifts are given for a purpose. They're also given for your need. How many have a need in your life? You know the best part of that? Not only does God have an answer and a solution, but he has a gift to help you with it. A lot of people ask me, they see things in service, we see a lot of people healed, we see the prophetic happen and all that kind of stuff, and they're like, oh, that's amazing, or they see some of the revival things happening, and they're asking questions, they're like, you know, how come I can't move in that? Well, the reality is you can. But the thing is you have to be in that place where you say, okay, God, my life is yours, and I know that it's you. Because the truth is, it isn't us, it's him. Y'all with me? And some people get driven by personalities, and we've seen personalities in ministry, you know, the blue hair and the all that kind of stuff, and if I ever have that happen in my life, y'all pray for me. I'll tell you a story. I grew up with television ministry and that kind of stuff, and I was really impressed by a guy. So when I was 16, I tried to dress like him and wear a white suit, and he had his hair pulled over like this, so I did a comb over. But I was only like 16 years old. I didn't need to do a comb over, you know, and I'm doing that. And then I was so excited, and so I got to preach one time, and as I'm preaching, I took his sermon, and what took him an hour to masterfully do, I did it in 5 minutes. And then the pastor after me came and cleaned up my sermon for the whole thing. You know, be you. Y'all with me? Here in Acts chapter 2, we read that God gives a voice. If you read in Genesis chapter 4, it's the story of Cain and Abel. Y'all familiar with this? And it says that his countenance fell, and then he killed his brother. Y'all with me? Acts chapter 3, we read of Peter and John going to pray. Y'all familiar with this story? And this beggar says to him, you know, please give me something. And Peter says, look at us. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man's healed. What happened to him? His countenance had changed. If you literally go and compare Genesis chapter by chapter with Acts, you'll see that God is answering challenges in Genesis. God remembers. God knows you very, very well. And he looks at you and he's not thinking, oh man, they're just going to screw up again today. Instead, he looks at you and he's excited and he waits patiently because God will not move past the place of permission. He will never force himself on you. He'll patiently wait for the right of relationship. Y'all with me? So he waits. And then when we come to that place where it's like, God, I cannot do it on my own. I need you. Isn't it amazing when we come to the end of ourselves, we see him move? All right, so let's talk about gifting. The word for gifting in the Greek is called charismata. How many have heard that word before? All right. Now, the root of that word charismata is the word charis, which in the Greek means grace. How many have heard of grace before? All right. Now, what does grace mean? Okay, it does not fail. In every church I go to, that's the first definition that's set out to me. And that's partially right. But what really grace is God gives us a strength to overcome our weakness. That's the real definition of that. Now, that's important because how many know that we have to learn to be an overcomer? And that's a very challenging thing for a lot of people. And that's one of the first things we need to learn in our faith is how to be an overcomer and how to move in God's grace, the strength to overcome our weaknesses. Amen. And isn't that powerful that God gives us grace? Now, the root, that root word charis is in the word charismata, which is gifting. Now, how many like gifts? Okay, be honest with me. How many of you at Christmas time either like to have a lot of presents or like to give a lot of presents? I mean, I've gotten to that point in life where presents don't really do anything for me because if I want something, I'll go buy it. But what I love to be is the person who gives the most gifts. It's just like the best thing in the world. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, okay, I like gifts because, you know, we wrap them and that kind of stuff. Unless you're like me who does not have the skill of wrapping stuff and my wife goes and rewraps it after me. Anybody, if you have one of those? Okay. But they have this new thing where you have a bag, you throw it in, and you put tissue paper on the top. This is genius. Absolutely genius, you know? And all my presents pretty much that I give are that way. Or they've come out with something even better. It's a gift card. I mean, that's just a beautiful thing. You know, you get a gift card, and you just sign it, and sign your card, and here you go. Now, the thing is we're so wired as a people to see that's how we think of gifts. Y'all with me? But that is not how biblical gifts work. If you look at biblical gifts in Scripture, and you understand the Greek and Hebrew culture, they gave gifts in a very different way. So how they would give a gift is they would have a party or a get-together, something like we have this Sunday morning. Then what they would do, and it would be known that the person who is hosting it would then give a speech, and then as they're giving a speech, they would then turn to someone and they would say, I bestow upon you. And then they would take something they're known for in the community. They might be a great business person. They might be a person of influence. They might be a person who's known for their intellect. It could be a myriad of things. But they would take that and they would say to a person, and they'd say, I bestow upon you. And then they would literally say, I bestow upon you my success. From then on, everyone in that village, in that area, would recognize that man is having that quality. Even if he didn't have it before, even if he didn't deserve it, wasn't that type of person, from then on, he had that. But notice this, the gift giver wasn't giving a present, they were giving of themselves. You with me? Now watch this. Father God gives of himself to you. Now this is the thing I love about God. Jesus gave his life for us, right? Went to the cross, died for us, resurrected, the whole thing, given his everything. Then in the New Testament, we're given the Holy Spirit in the church, right? Which is an amazing thing. But the Father is a giver too. And so in gifting, he gives of him his very self to that particular person. God is a giving God. How many of you are a parent? How many of you do with anything for your children or your grandkids? God has the same heart. That's actually his heart. And the very nature of God is a giver. And it's also the strength of a mature believer is their giving ability. Now watch this. So a gift comes to us from God, which is the very essence of him. So when I move in prophecy or move in miracles or faith or helps or mercy or administration or in teaching, those kind of things, the gifts we read about in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians 4, when I take those and that stuff, I'm literally carrying Father. So let's take the first gift given in the New Testament church. The first gift was what? A voice. It's amazing how many people fight the gift of speaking in tongues. And the reason the enemy in particular does not like that is because that's the Father's voice put inside of you. You can continue reading about that gift, and it's not just babble, it's a language. And in Revelations, you can read that that is the language that is spoken in the throne. Now think of that for a second. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking the language of the throne room. Y'all see how powerful that is? The enemy is terrified by that gift because he knows with that gift you won't be silent. Y'all with me? He knows how he beat Adam, but then God has an answer for that challenge. His gifts are an answer to our challenges. The interesting thing is this. Okay, we're parents in the room. We've lived this with our kids. How many know that our kids learn by going through things in life? And the amazing thing is it takes them time to ask for our help, especially when they become teenagers. I have two teenage girls right now. You can intercede for me. You know, I took one of my daughters on the road with me, Scarlett, she's about to be 16. I took her on the road with me for 10 days. When I came back, I said to my wife, I don't know how you do it. 10 days on the road with a teenage girl, oh my goodness. She was just nonstop. But it's an amazing thing as a parent when your kid comes to you and says, Dad, I don't know what to do and I need help. Then what do you do as a parent? You help. But we don't step in before that because our kids have to learn. Y'all with me? Father does the same thing with us. Where do you get the gift? In the tough spots of life. Y'all following this? See, those of you who are really dealing with challenges right now and you feel like the whole world is against you and nothing is working, that's actually a great time. You may think that nothing's happening, but see, God is at that point waiting. And in that point, that's how the turnaround or the breakthrough happens. Y'all with me? Grace is so powerful in our life because it helps us overcome weakness. Paul says to Timothy, your gift makes a way for you. How many of you feel a little stuck in life right now? That's real. How many of you feel like it's just you cannot break through a couple of things? This is why gifts are so important to the church. Because those gifts make a way for us. Why? Because it is God himself moving through you. Because you're carrying Father. You know, the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the... This is why. Paul knows this when he's talking to the church in Corinthians. Anybody ever look at the church in Corinthians, what they were going through? They went through a lot of moral issues. But what a lot of people don't understand about the Corinthian church is that church in particular, the group there in Corinth, most of them lived and grew up around the temple of Athena. And in Athena, they practiced very, very occultic things. But not only that, it was a thing, it was a complete, I know this is a strong word I'm going to say in church, but it was a complete sex culture. So that was such a huge issue to the people there. And Paul is dealing with that issue in the church. And he's talking about grace, if you're reading it, just before he talks about gifting. And then after gifting, he talks about love. If you're reading Corinthians 11, 12, and 13 back to back. And the interesting thing with that is this, that grace helps you overcome the weakness, but your gift gets you out of the rut. And watch this. This is how gifts really work. God gives to you because you're in a place where you need something, right? But this is the power of a church. I then do what Father God did with me. I then give freely as what has been given to me, which meets someone else's need. As he takes care of my need, I am his vessel to take care of somebody else's need. So gifts are very purposeful. Now, I know we've lived in a day and age where we have a lot of personalities out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Those are just badly behaved children. Do you know what I mean? Don't let a few bad apples spoil the rest of it. Let's us stand up for what's the right way. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to work the crowd up and hype and do all that kind of stuff to flow. God's already at work before you. I'm going to use this as an example. Y'all mind if we flow in some spiritual gifts right now? Okay. Earlier, can you tell me your name?
Joseph.
Joseph. Hi, Joseph. I'm Lucas. Earlier when I came up and I was preaching, I was doing the example of gifting. And do you remember what I said over you? I used the word success. I did that on purpose because when we were worshiping earlier, I was sitting down for a while. Some of you maybe have saw me sitting down. And I was listening. And as you were singing the song on the Holy Spirit, and we just kind of had that linger spot, and then Pastor came and sat here for a while, and he was just praying. And I thought that was such a beautiful moment because he wasn't up here roaring the crowd. He was just being still before the Lord. And as I was hearing, the Lord started speaking to me about you. And he said, listen, your life, I'm going to give you my success. Not Lucas, Father God. You've had a tough season for a long season. But this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bless you with a good season. And you're going to enjoy this season. You're going to have more happiness, fulfillment. And you're going to see things that you've struggled with not hold you. It's going to be an easier season. And you're going to say this at the end of this time. You're going to say, I have experienced the goodness of God, which is something you've been asking God for a long time, isn't it?
I've heard God's voice probably several times.
But, yeah.
I really haven't said anything about it.
Yeah. You're important to God's plan. You're really important. Thank you for letting me. This is how gifts work. It's normal. I was blessed to grow up in church, and I got to experience spiritual gifts from an early age, so it wasn't weird. And so it became normal to me to see people healed. That's why when I'm in services and people get healed, it doesn't wow me. Because that's just normal. That's just the goodness of God. Y'all with me? Who has pain in their body right now? Okay. Who has pain specifically in your leg? Right leg. Who has the right leg? Okay, that's several of you. All right. This is what I'm doing. You have, who else has? You do? Okay, right leg. Okay. Someone in specific has pain towards their ankle. Who is it? Okay. There you go. All right, during worship, as we were having time with the Lord, I begin to feel like the presence of God on my leg. That's what I began to feel. And I was like, okay, Lord, what is this? And he said, there's a couple folks dealing with this. And in particular, I saw you. But I didn't see anyone because I was staring this way. Y'all with me? I'm showing you how I work, which is important. It's important to share how we work. When the Lord shows that, what is he doing? Just putting you in the know? No. He wants to do something. So then how gifts work is he gives us a thing like he did with me, showed a picture, shared a thing, but then we got to take the step of faith. Now, do I feel anything right now? No. Do I hear trumpets and angels and the open heavens and all that kind of stuff? No. I don't feel anything of that. I just know that God showed me something. And if God showed something, he's going to do something. Y'all cool? So I'm going to start with you. Can you tell me your name?
Tim.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Rough physically.
Okay.
I quit going up for prayer. I decided I had my miracle.
Okay.
And so for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, didn't go up for prayer any longer.
Yeah.
But God can do anything he wants to do at any time.
Okay.
And so I prayed about my unbelief this morning, so.
Isn't it interesting how God pays attention to us? Okay, because I don't know you.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. I don't know what's going on in your life, any of that kind of jazz. But God pays attention. This is really important because God's heart is caring, compassionate, those things. So, Tim, right? All right, so Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking right now, as you showed me in my spirit, Lord, him in service, I'm asking that you touch his right leg. I'm also asking not only that you, that's the power of God right there. Whoa. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I felt power there. You feel something touching you right now?
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you not only for touching his leg, but every other area in his life, Lord, that he needs a touch of you. And thank you, Father, that you are paying attention to him. I thank you, Lord, for that in the name of Jesus. And we stand on your word of Exodus 15:26, that you are the God that heals us. And so, Lord, we stand on your promises, which are yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You were asking for prayer to your right leg. Y'all just stretch your hands out and pray here. Father, in the name of Jesus,
what's going on with your business? Yeah, I hear the word tough season.
Father, I just thank you right now.
In the name of Jesus, I ask you to take that stress right now. In Jesus' name, give him strength. Help him see what he's not seeing right now. And Lord, let him see your hand. Give him wisdom and discretion in all the things that he does. And Lord, let him be known for his wisdom. In the name of Jesus,
I thank you for healing, touching his body right now. Devil, you may not bug this man anymore. In Jesus' name, be it so. You're going to prosper. You're going to prosper. John 10:10 is your scripture. Thief comes to steal, come to destroy, but Jesus came to give me life. And every time you're facing a situation, you say, no, Jesus has come to give me life. And you speak that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hi. Can you tell me your name?
Amber.
Hi, Amber. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Okay, how long have you had pain in your leg?
It's in my hip.
It's in your hip.
It's in my hip.
Okay.
Probably for the last year.
Okay. Y'all stretch your hands and pray for her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to touch Amber right now. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and healed all of our sickness and disease. And so I'm asking, God, that you touch her hip. I also pray that you encourage her in her life with you right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for that. In your name, Lord, amen. Amen. Now, I want to do a teaching moment for a second. With him, I told you how I saw him, right? And prayed. But I didn't know what was going on in his life, right? But the Lord was paying attention. This is really important to hear, because a lot of times we don't think that the Lord's paying attention. We kind of feel like we're all alone and out there. Y'all know what I mean? Go back to Scripture, what I was teaching this morning. In Genesis, he lost his voice. So God knew in the church he had to give a voice. He was paying attention to needs and what needed to overcome things. You with me? When I ministered to this man, you saw me.
I didn't speak all the time on the microphone.
Why? Because it was a prophetic word, which I saw something in you. Now, that wasn't to be displayed out public, because that wasn't for everybody's business. You know what I mean? That's private. But again, when a prophetic word comes, it's why? It's God is paying attention to you. You know what I mean? And same to you here. It's important that when we talk about and when we do gifts, we talk about it. Because one of the biggest frustrations that I see with people growing in ministry is this. We don't talk about this, and it's just like, figure it out. And so you know what happens when you figure it out? You start looking for anything that has an answer. And that sometimes leads us to things that are dangerous. So it's important when we talk about things of the Holy Spirit, because God has an order to things, and it must be grounded in his word. Amen? The other thing is, do you see me getting intense and excited and all that kind of stuff? No, I can, because I'm human too, and I get excited, you know, especially if we're talking about sci-fi or Star Wars or that stuff, because I like that. You know, there are certain things that excite me, but I'm being calm. Why? Because that's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you spend time with the Holy Spirit, you should walk in peace. You should walk in love. You should walk in humility and kindness and meekness, not in pushing it down. God is gentle. He never pushes past your place of permission. He waits. Why? Well, that's one of the great things of God, and why our God is so much more than any other religion out there. They're demand. God doesn't do that. He has relationship, real relationship. How many of you came with a need this morning and you say, Lucas, I'm stuck. There's something blocking. I don't know how to move forward from this point. I need God to move in my life right now. How many would say that? Okay, that's real. Remember how I talked about gifts? It's time for a gift. Isn't that a good thing? This is an exciting part. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord, as your word says, as Paul's talking to Timothy, he says, stir up the gift within you. And then he says to seek after the gifts. Lord, I am praying over the congregation, Lord, this morning, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit would come and be a purpose in their life to release your presence, to release your goodness, to release a breakthrough in people's lives, and help them walk in the strength that you've called them to. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your presence here right now. Your scripture says wherever two or three of us are gathered together in your name, there you are. And Lord, I know that you're moving here this morning. And in the name of Jesus, I lift up everybody to you. And I, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against the enemy. You may not have a voice in our lives. You may not speak to us. You may not hinder us. You might and may not go around to somebody else in our life to try to get them off. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray Ephesians 1:13, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit and with promise. And so, Lord, I thank you with your word today, and I thank you for what you're doing here in Landmark, God. Father, I pray that this church would rise in a fresh new strength. And Lord, I pray that in this house, that everybody would rise to the thing you've called them to in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many got something this morning? Was that good? I'll be out at the table here after the service. I have the whole teaching on spiritual gifts and a workbook to help you in those things. And there's also a worship CD. I'd love to shake your hand and everything. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucas. Let's thank him for his ministry this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Praise God. If it's physically possible, just lift your hand to the Lord and let's just thank him for this time together. All right, Father, we thank you, Lord. We lift you up this morning. We lift our hearts. We lift our hands, Lord, as acknowledging that you have been here today. We thank you for the ministry of Lucas. We thank you for the message and the great reports, Lord. And Father, we just glorify your name. We worship you, Lord, for you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your presence and that you care for each of us and that you are concerned for us, Lord, and that you love us and that you are patient and you wait for us. Thank you for all these things we've been taught this morning. Now, Father, as we go our separate ways, we pray that you would just bless each one, Lord, and just give them a very wonderful day today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, what I'd like to do, I'd like you, if you're able to give an offering to help Lucas's ministry. I am intrigued by these underground churches in Iran. They're not out in the public at all. And as you all know, Iran is a very dangerous place right now. But how many know that that doesn't stop God? Amen? And so if you're able to give an offering to help with their ministry, just take it to Stacy out in the information booth there. She's got a little receptacle for it. And if you write a check, make it out to the church, and we'll just give that to Lucas. But if you can, just whatever you're able to give, I know it will encourage them and bless them. And we'll be having a small part in what God is doing in the Middle East. Amen? And Europe and Africa, but the Middle East especially. And I believe that God can just tear down the stronghold. So anyway, God is good. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Lucas will be at the table if you're interested in purchasing some of his material, and say hi to him. And God bless you. Thanks for coming this morning. Have a wonderful weekend. And God bless you.